Welcome back to Loyalty Unlocked. Today we're stepping straight into one of the biggest traps in marketing, a trap so common that even the best brands fall right into it. We're talking about how companies accidentally train customers to wait for discounts. Mark, I'm pretty sure every listener just winced a little. Ready to dig in?
Absolutely, and you're right, the wince is universal, because every marketer has done this. You launch a discount, sales spike, someone in the business says, run it again. And before you know it, you're in a cycle you can't escape. The tough part is, customers aren't behaving badly. They're behaving exactly as we trained them.
Yes, that's what makes this so painful. We design the system, and then get frustrated when customers follow it. And you saw this so clearly during COVID in Hong Kong with Manning's. No tourists, sales drop, the brand leans heavily on discounts, and it works at first. But then people start shifting their shopping around the offer days like it's a lunar calendar.
Exactly. We literally saw shopping behavior being reorganized. And the more predictable the offers were, the more predictable the behavior became. And then the staff got trained too. There's nothing more telling than the M&S bedding story. The assistant almost whispering, come back next week when it's cheaper. When your own team coaches customers to avoid full price, the problem is systemic.
And this is what happened with Pizza Express as well. They became so synonymous with vouchers that paying full price felt wrong. And it's funny, but it's also tragic, because the brand slid from restaurant to coupon engine without ever intending to.
Yes, I remember dining there once with my kids without the ubiquitous discount vouchers and paying full price. And it was actually a shock. Once you've conditioned customers to believe that full price is only for the uninformed, you have a very serious business challenge on your hands.
So let's talk solutions. How do we break out of the discount loop? Where does motivational economics come in?
Motivational economics is all about designing behavior rather than reacting to it. Instead of paying customers to act with discounts, you motivate them with progress, recognition, or achievement. There are two lenses. Firstly, gamification, the emotional. This feels fun and rewarding layer. Second, the game theory, the economic logic, ensuring the incentives make sense commercially. When you combine them, you create value without destroying margin.
And this brings us to one of my favorite marketing stories ever, the Rory Sutherland Five Guys example. And I want to spend time here because it's honestly one of the clearest demonstrations of motivational economics I've ever come across. Mark, tell it properly, because it's gold.
Five Guys is fascinating because what they sell isn't just burgers, it's perceived generosity. Here's what happens. You order fries. The staff fill the cup to the top, and then they take an extra scoop of fries and dump it into your bag. Economically, none of this is special. Those fries are costed in. There's no real giveaway. But psychologically, it's massive. Why? Well, the overflow feels like a gift, and gifts evoke gratitude, not calculation. The customer thinks, I'm getting more than I paid for, even though they aren't. Then that emotion colors the entire experience. The burger, the brand, the price. Rory Sutherland calls this the magic of net perceived value. You haven't added value, you've framed it differently. And that framing multiplies emotional value far beyond the actual cost.
And this is the key lesson marketers miss. So many brands pour money into deeper discounts thinking value comes from amount. But Five Guys shows value comes from presentation. It's the same fries, same cost, same margin, but a completely different emotion.
Exactly. And we saw something similar when piloting loyalty approaches in Vietnam.
Yes, you've mentioned this before in passing, the coupon paradox, but can you walk us through it properly? Because on paper, it shouldn't have worked the way it did. Set the scene for us. What were you testing and why?
Sure. So in Vietnam, we were dealing with a very different market dynamic. Modern trade is still emerging. Wet markets dominate, and shoppers are extremely value sensitive, but not always in the way traditional retailers assume. We wanted to test mechanisms that could both reward existing behavior and nudge additional visits. So we designed a simple fresh food coupon, a targeted limited time reduction on a specific fresh product, delivered through a unique code printed on the pack. The idea was classic precision marketing. Identify the segment with the highest likelihood to buy again, give them an incentive, and watch the lift.
Right, totally standard loyalty playbook. So what happened?
Almost nothing. The targeted group barely moved. Sales didn't shift enough to matter. And the first reaction from everyone was, well, maybe the offer wasn't strong enough, or maybe customers didn't see it, or maybe we targeted the wrong group. All reasonable assumptions. But we wanted to be sure, so we tried something different and sent the exact same coupon to everyone. Every member, no targeting, no precision.
Which is the kind of thing that would make a CRM team faint.
Exactly. It goes against everything we're taught. The thinking was, why waste an offer on people unlikely to redeem it? But when we sent it mass, sales jumped by over 1.5 percentage points.
Even though redemption barely budged?
Redemption hardly changed at all. That's the fascinating part. The coupon wasn't driving behavior through its use. It was driving behavior through its presence.
So the coupon basically stopped being a discount and became a message?
Yes, it became advertising, a brand signal. When it was targeted, customers treated it like a transaction. Is this worth redeeming? Is the discount big enough? Does it justify the effort? But when it went mass, it became something else entirely. It said, we're a retailer that gives good value. Not to one small group, to everyone. Customers didn't redeem it. They just felt better about us. And that feeling translated into sales.
This is wild, but also so intuitive once you hear it. When you target precisely, the offer is logical. When you go mass, the offer is emotional. Precision gives efficiency. Reach gives memory.
Very true. The coupon became a reassurance signal. We understand value. We're here to help. You'll always find good deals with us. That reassurance created more uplift than the coupon ever could on a transactional level.
It's the Five Guys fries again, isn't it? The scoop of fries in the bag isn't about the fries. It's about what the gesture communicates.
Exactly that. Targeted coupons say, here's a calculated offer based on your behavior. Mass coupons say, here's something for everyone. We're generous. And generosity, or perceived generosity, drives mood, trust, and memory. The real paradox is this. When you target, you get higher redemption, but lower impact. When you go mass, you get lower redemption, but higher impact. With the extra fries, many people don't actually want them and don't eat them. But the gesture is there. It was the same for the coupon. We hit customers who didn't buy that category, so the coupon wasn't useful or used. But the intention was there, and the value was communicated. This net perceived value was enough to shift intention.
And this is where the precision marketing world sometimes misleads us. We optimize for redemption, but redemption isn't the real goal. The real goal is behavior change. And sometimes waste isn't waste. It's signal strength.
It is. You don't always need to personalize the value. Sometimes you need to personalize the feeling.
This really reframes the role of offers. It says, an offer doesn't always have to be used to be useful.
Precisely. And that's why I call it the coupon paradox. The value wasn't in the coupon itself, it was in reminding customers who we were. And when you're trying to win mindshare, that reminder is everything.
Which leads beautifully into Tesco challenges, because these challenges are basically Five Guys plus behavioral science plus data plus margin control all woven together. On the surface, they look like a sales promotion, but once you understand how they work, it's a different universe. Let's go all in on this, Mark, because people underestimate how clever this is.
Tesco challenges look deceptively simple. Three circles, a spend target, a progress bar. But underneath that simplicity is a remarkably sophisticated behavioral engine. Here's what makes them different. Firstly, they differentiate between acquisition and stretch. For customers new to a brand, you can see there is a lower bar for entry. Just one product purchase gets you started and unlocks value. The challenge is acting as a gentle nudge. Come back into this category. It's not asking for more, just asking for once. For existing customers, the bar tends to be set a little higher to stretch you. Typically, the first entry is around two products worth. So the first tier is deliberately harder, and this breaks the default purchasing pattern and starts to teach trade-up behavior.
And already this is wildly different from a normal sales promotion. A promotion says, buy now because it's cheaper. A challenge says, buy now because you're progressing. One is transactional, the other is transformational.
Yes, and the trouble with a buy one, get one free is it tends to simply cannibalize sales from your existing customers. There is no stretch, just stocking up. The real magic, though, with the Tesco challenge, I think, is how they then tier the challenge accumulation. Each tier is roughly 50% more than the last. So if tier one is two bags of frozen peas, tier two is three, tier three is four. It feels like natural progression. The reward value given tapers slower than the spend, which is really clever. The customer earns more reward in absolute terms as they go up, but the percentage becomes less generous. For the customer, it feels like it's escalating. But the business is protecting margin. The unlock effect for the customer also helps the goal gradient kick in, so this is powerful psychology. As customers approach the end of a challenge, say you've spent £5.90 of a £7 target, the motivation spikes, completion becomes emotionally irresistible. You're not buying peas anymore, you're buying closure.
And that is the part no sales promotion ever captures. A promotion motivates the first purchase. A challenge motivates the final one. The last step becomes the most valuable one.
And that really is motivational economics in action.
I also love that this is essentially self-funding.
It is. Most of the time, the brands fund the reward. But the brand only pays out when the behavior itself is incremental. If the customer didn't do something more, then the brand doesn't pay anything more. This is very different to a typical sales promotion. Also, the incremental margin often covers most of the reward anyway. The real gain here, though, is that the behavior sticks after the challenge ends. So when you zoom out, the economics look incredible. Eagle Eyes Data, who run these challenges for Tesco, shows a 4-to-1 sales uplift, which is exceptional.
But again, it's not about the discount, it's about the design. The challenge reframes the act of buying from cost to progress. Which brings us back to Manning's and that HK$1,000 challenge, because you effectively did a Tesco-style stretch behavior. Light buyers, usually the hardest to move, suddenly went for it.
Yes, let's step back a little as to understand the challenge. You have to understand the problem we were trying to unwind. For quite a while, Manning's had leaned very heavily on member price days. And because those discounts were predictable, customers had reorganized their entire shopping behavior around them. They weren't buying when they needed something. They were buying when the discount appeared. We had essentially created a market where full price felt like a penalty, not a default. So the challenge wasn't just to lift sales, it was to retrain value perception.
Right, because the moment customers believe the real price is the discounted price, you lose all control of the narrative. You're not managing behavior anymore, you're following it.
Exactly that. So we introduced a very simple challenge of spend HK$1,000 in a defined period and earn a $20 coupon. Now, $20 is not a huge reward. It wasn't meant to be. The purpose wasn't to create a big financial incentive. It was to give customers a goal instead of a discount. A discount says wait until the price drops. A challenge says move now to unlock something. We wanted to flip the behavior from holding back to leaning forward.
And the $1,000 target, how did you set that? Because for a lot of light buyers, that's actually quite a jump.
That was intentional. We wanted the stretch to be slightly uncomfortable, but not unrealistic. Something that required an adjustment in behavior, but not a reinvention of it. HK$1,000 was chosen because it was meaningfully above the average spend for most customers. So it required multiple visits, and it then created a sense of progression. I'm halfway there, I'm 80% there, I'm almost there. It wasn't about the value of the coupon, it was really about the momentum created by the target.
So, what happened? Because this is the part that really surprised me when I first heard it.
It surprised me too. When we looked at the data, we saw that 2/3 of the customers who hit the target had historically been spending far less. Some were spending less than half on average in the same period before the challenge. These weren't heavy buyers. They were the lighter buyer, and yet they were the most responsive.
It really shows that loyalty programs aren't discount engines. They're behavior change engines.
Yes, and the core lesson here is that pricing and loyalty must be designed together. They either reinforce each other or sabotage each other.
If pricing teaches customers to wait and loyalty teaches them to stretch, that's a civil war.
Exactly. You have to decide what behavior you want to teach before you decide how to incentivize it.
Mark, this has been one of our richest conversations because it reframes something we all deal with, the discount trap, into something we can actually control. Discounts teach customers to wait. Challenges teach customers to progress. Framing teaches customers how to feel. And the real takeaway? Behavior is not something we chase. It's something we design. Any final thoughts?
Just one. Be intentional. Decide what your brand wants to teach and design everything around that.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark. And thank you to everyone listening. Join us next time on Loyalty Unlocked as we continue exploring how great brands build loyalty, not through discounts, but through design.